Some of the topics that I've discussed on the Ask Dr. Gill podcast have been more spiritual. And today I want to be talking about a topic that is more spiritual from an essay by a gentleman named Matthew Fox called The Blue Man. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to discuss the archetype and the energy behind that and why it's applicable to health, healing, biology, psychology, and spirituality. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about something that I found really fascinating that I read this article or an essay by a gentleman named Matthew Fox. He's a former Catholic priest who ended up leaving the church. He may have been excommunicated now that I'm thinking about it, but he has his own sort of spiritual group, does a lot of things around men's awareness and healthy masculine attitudes. And I just want to make a quick note that I am going to be using non-gender neutral terms today, in part because Mr. Fox has used those terms in the essay, and it's just easier. And the concept of Blue Man is really interesting in that there have been different writers over the years in different spiritual traditions having a description of this that is basically their experience of the universe, God, spirit, however you want to use that term. And for example, Swami Muktananda in India has this description of the Blue Man, but so does Hildegard van Bingham, who was a 12th century, I think she's actually been canonized, so I think she's a saint. She was a musical composer and spiritualist, and she also had this vision and experience of a blue man. And blue is a very spiritual color in a lot of indigenous societies, and I think that there's this archetypal element to it. Now, an archetype, for those of you who don't know, was a term coined by C.G. Jung, which basically describes some kind of quality that we all share, and or some people share, right? Not everyone has all the archetypes, but the archetypes can be embedded in us in different ways. And there's a gentleman named Joseph Campbell who wrote on myth and mythology and has a book called A Hero of a Thousand Faces, which, if you've never heard of, it's actually the basis of the Star Wars movies, because George Lucas read A Hero of a Thousand Faces and put the timeline, if you will, of the hero's journey into space and in the future, in a sense. And when you look at the hero's journey, there are different elements that are similar regardless of the mythology that you're reading. So if you read a Native American story, a Greek story, an Indian story, a Chinese story, an African story, whatever the story is, wherever it is, there are elements that are cross-cultural, if you will. And that's the archetypal element. And it's a really important piece in terms of this discussion of Blue Man, because the Blue Man represents the archetype of very deep empathy, creativity, and sacred presence. And I think right now this is an important topic given where our culture is going, and particularly given artificial intelligence and sort of the disruption, if you will, of how our society has been running. And it's can be very stressful for people. So that's kind of the context I wanted to kind of share with you about this. Now, It's interesting in terms of the blue state. I think that there's a place that we like to go. And I could do this as another podcast, but I'll briefly mention that there's something very healing about water. And water actually has, even ocean water has no color necessarily. It's reflecting the sky above. But there is something about the blue that is soothing to our systems. And when you can connect to this archetype from a neuroscience perspective, what's happening is that you're engaging the ventral vagus system in the body and bringing in the parasympathetic state. So you're getting more co-regulation, you're getting more oxytocin, which is a hormone that helps relax and open our hearts, more serotonin to make us more, you know, happier, and more compassion that comes through. So trauma, chronic stress, our overstimulation, things that pull us out of our parasympathetic into the fight, flight, freeze, that's actually helping. The blue man state is actually helping. And I'll talk in the second half of the show the practical elements of this. From a spiritual point of view, what Matthew Fox is discussing is how blue man is opposite what he might call an empire consciousness. And this essay was written before AI. It was probably written about 20 years ago-ish, I would say. And part of the thing that I think we're seeing today is that the hierarchical elements, what he would call empire consciousness, are starting to crumble. And this, and I'm speaking to men here more in what I'm about to say, this changes how men function in the world and what our role is. Because before this sort of, I'll say, awakening, what was happening is that we would just go through these roles and lead in a way that wasn't always healthy. It was more about dominance. It was more about extraction. It's more about creating layers of hierarchy, of who's on top, who's not, you know, who's in the middle, who's on the bottom. And I think that when you get into the state of the blue man, and if you read the writings of Muktananda, he talks about how this is in everybody, that everyone and everything is connected. And that's a really different state. This brings us out of separation, out of the need for competition, and it brings us more into a place of compassion, a place of presence, a place of clarity. And I think that that is an important factor in terms of, and by the way, why I'm talking about this, because I think now more than ever, we should be working together to understand. I mean, there's technologies that are becoming available that we have no idea how it's going to impact us. And I'm not saying they're bad, I'm not saying they're good, but I think without working together and asking those questions, like how can we use this to better serve everybody and the planet, we're going to be going down a road that could lead to our own destruction. And so I think when you look at it from a different perspective, I mean, just looking at economically right now, I read somewhere, I think it's the top 10% of the world owns over 50% of the money and resources. That's a really bad distribution of wealth. It's like a bad game of Monopoly. And I think this is why Blue Man is a really important piece of this, and where Matthew Fox is talking about the activism in regards to this. So now the other aspect that I think is really important about blue is it's a very creative color. And Fox discusses this idea that's inherent within spirituality. And I'm going to talk more about creativity in the second part of the show. But blue is this color that isn't just about healing. It's also about purpose. It's about how do we listen to our inner voice and find what's creative for us to reconnect to something. And creativity, and this is the big piece that I want to share, creativity is very important to health, particularly mental health, because when you're creative, you are actually releasing lots of hormones and neurochemicals that are helping you feel better. And it doesn't matter if you're doing it because you're going to make money doing it. It's just about doing something creative that then allows you to sort of settle into this parasympathetic state. And it's doing all kinds of things in the body. It's changing your emotional state. It's changing your sense of purpose. It's giving you a feeling of accomplishment. And it's finding what it is that's important to you. And it was interesting. I can't remember the guy's name, but he talks about this gentleman who runs men's retreats. And the key piece, one of the key pieces in this retreat is engaging with your creative aspect, your artistic aspect. Even though you've never painted before or drawn anything, he would have people do that in the retreat to get in touch with this side of themselves. So, all right, so we're going to take a quick break. And on the second half of the show, I'm going to talk more about shadow aspects of this and practical applications of how to engage with this in within yourself. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send me an email to info@askdrgill.com. And what I would like to hear from you is how useful these things are. And it would be great if you listen to this and you got something out of it, if you'd let me know. It's really helpful because then I can kind of reassess sort of topics that I might go to. So you may not have a specific topic, but if there's a show that you've listened to that you found helpful, let me know. Or if there's something you want me to go deeper in, let me know that too. All right. So I've been talking about Blue Man. I want to talk about some of the shadow sides of this. So this is another concept of Jung in terms of the shadow. And it's, I will say, and I will probably do another talk with this, and I may have a friend of mine on who's a Jungian. I have a bunch of friends who are Jungian psychologists. And shadow is misused a lot in sort of the literature. I'll just say that. So shadow, that the way it's used is things that are the dark side of what it is that we are of ourselves or what we're engaging in. But from a purely Jungian perspective, shadow is really about what is it that I don't see about myself. And shadow can also be good things. And as an example, I mentioned before the break about how someone that does these workshops, he has the men work on becoming more artistic. Well, for many people, that's a shadow side, right? Because they don't know that they have this gift inside them. And there's a guy named, or he's since passed away, David Paladin. He was an artist back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And his story, he was Native American. He was Native American, and he was a spy during World War II, captured by the Nazis, tortured in a concentration camp for years. And because they knew he was a spy, he was a code breaker. And he basically, after the war, went back to his home to die. And the shaman there said, "Call your soul back." And he threw him in this lake, I believe it was, with a rope tied around him, and basically made him find himself and calling all parts of himself. And the way he describes it is he had to forgive all of the people who tortured him. And he ended up, he thought he was going to die at that point, and he ended up living. And he's, if you look online, you can see some of his artwork. It is absolutely fantastic. And this kind of came forth after this, and he didn't know it was in him. That shadow, right? Not saying that you need to be tortured and, you know, go through a near drowning and near death experience to find it, and hopefully you don't. But this is an extreme example, obviously. Shadow can also be a negative thing, right? And this is kind of the way that it's used in the sort of mainstream is. So, for example, when you use something spiritual or something that might be good as a way of bypassing instead of transforming. So, for example, if you like doing art, but you do art instead of doing your job, and you know, it may be that you need to get a new job, but if you're sitting there doodling instead of doing your Excel spreadsheet, I'm using an extreme example, that could be a form of escape instead of engagement in the feeling. And I talked about embodiment last episode. Embodiment is required to engage with the blue man. And it's about breath. It's about grounded action. It's about relationships. It's about right action too. And so this is the other piece, I would say, that's important in terms of Blue Man and engaging with that. It's something that is within you. It's within all of us. And the only way that you can really get to it is by becoming more into embodied into your physical space. So in terms of engaging with this, you know, if you want practices to kind of bring you into a blue state, breath work is a big one. You know, I can't speak enough about breath work and meditation. The research on those two things in terms of our psychological states is amazing. And it changes our prefrontal cortex. Like long-term meditators have changes in their way that their brain responds to the outside world. And it's not so much that you're more relaxed necessarily, which is really interesting because people think, oh, you're more relaxed. It's that you just don't engage with the negative ideas that you might normally engage with. So grounding, one of the things I like to suggest to patients is kind of, there's a Qigong exercise where you just shake, you know, you just kind of, you're doing that. And you do that for 10 minutes. You stand up and you're just sort of shaking your whole body. That can release a lot of energy for people and bring you back into the ground. And if you can do that outside in bare feet, that's really like the best, because there's something about the earth's energy and feeling that under your feet that is actually helpful for human beings. And wearing shoes all the time, I talked about this with Dr. Tom, wearing shoes all the time, you know, it creates a barrier between us and the planet, but we're here on the planet. So, and being in nature, I think, is really, really important. Prayer can be very, very important for people. It's not so much necessarily about specific prayers. It's just about understanding that there's something higher that's going on. And I think that higherness isn't something outside, it's something within, which is important. But it, connecting with that is, it's getting out of your ego. It's getting out of your ego state. Because from that state, you see everything the same way that you've always seen it. And so once you can kind of get out of that space, then you can kind of have a different perspective. And then following creative impulses. It can be music, it can be art, it can be journaling, whatever it is. It can be podcasting. I mean, this is a creative outlet for me. And I love doing this because of it. It is a place where I can just sort of find information and sort of share it with people. But there's a creative aspect to that for me. So, and then, of course, engagement with others, being able to co-regulate if you have a partner, having meaningful conversations, talking to other people, and engaging in these kinds of conversations, I think is really, really important. And particularly for men, I think men in our society tend to isolate ourselves. And I do think that there's something about how it's important to go inward and find something within ourselves, whatever that deep thing is. But engagement is also really important as well. Overall, I would say that this matters because we're in such a place of chronic dysregulation, collective trauma, polarization. Blue Man is a symbol of unity and how this is all within us. And finding that and sort of understanding, wow, we're not that different. It doesn't matter where we come from, what our background is. All of this is part of the unity. And Muktananda talked about that in his writing. Everything is connected. Everything. And by the way, it's not just Muktananda. There are so many authors and mystics that talk about this across all kinds of religious or, you know, organizations and basis, that all is one. Everything, we are all expressions of one, of the same thing. And I think right now it's really, really important for us to be reminded of that and learn to work with that. So I hope this resonates with you. And I would ask that, you know, if you've had experiences of this, of the blue feeling, not the sadness, but the connection, the openness, the aliveness, shoot me an email, because I'd love to hear your story. And if you want to learn more about this, check out my workshops. I'm going to integrate some of this into some of the other workshops. I'm redesigning my courses at the moment and the offering and how I'm putting that together in terms of the Eliminate Anxiety course. If you see it on that, it's going to be more generalized towards optimizing brain health, and also the Health Stories course. This is kind of the piece around this. How do we get into a place beyond our stories? And this is one of the ways that we do this. So check that out on my website. I'll put a link below for all of the information. I hope you've really enjoyed this, and I look forward to talking to you next time.